And welcome to another episode of the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm your co-host Tony in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, coming to you after a terrible loss to Newcastle. And the other side, we got Brawley. How's it going, man?
Yeah, I've been better.
Yeah, that was absolute trash. This episode is starting off coming to you the first half of the episode right after the game. We decided to get on the podcast and say absolutely how terrible that was. If you're looking for a positive episode, this is not it. This team is in the absolute gutter. They can't get anything going. And when you said, hey, man, let's do this right after the game, I was not even prepared. I was like, this is going to just be a disaster because I'm so angry.
Instant match reactions are usually never a good idea. That's where you get all of your clickbait from. That's why Arsenal Fan TV and West Ham Fan TV are so their numbers are always massive after a defeat, because everyone wants to hear the headlines and the instant fickle reactions that football fans tend to have. And I am ready to rant and rave about that performance. 3-2 flatters the fuck out of us.
It was
3-2 does not reflect the game at all. Losing, I'm just going to have a list of things going. Let's start at the very beginning. Manuel Pellegrini, what the hell are you thinking putting Zabaleta up against Saint-Maximin? I don't get it. From minute one, he got it wrong. The team was wrong. The shape was wrong. Everything from minute one. That's down to Manuel Pellegrini. From minute one, I said that the second I saw the lineup, Zabaleta has got to be absolutely scared shitless to be going up against Saint-Maximin. And Saint-Maximin has to be like, well, this is great. I'm going to be having the time of my life running in behind him. And when you have Ryan Fredericks, the paciest guy on the team, on the bench, who plays that position, that can cope with him. I don't understand it at all. From minute one, I don't understand it. And Frederick comes on in the 72nd minute for Zabaleta. Oh, yeah, great. I guess we should 72 minutes too fucking late. I don't get it. And Allaire, isolated. He's got no one to help him up there. No one at all. And if you want to chime in on this, go ahead and chime in. I don't want to me just ranting for 20 minutes.
Here's the thing about the lineup. It was the same lineup that got a draw against Sheffield.
Yeah.
The same lineup. You know, don't change a winning side. Well, don't. What are we doing? Don't change a side that draws at home to Sheffield? This is now five in a row that we have not gotten a win. Six if you throw an Oxford in the cup. All started with Palace, a chance to go third. A chance to go third. Brawley, we were sitting here high on the podcast, getting all excited, blah, blah, blah. We were bamboozled. Absolutely bamboozled. We had a chance to go third against Palace. You know, yeah, sure, it was like five games in. But again, like I said on the last pod, I'd rather have a chance to go third five games in than be fighting relegation. So I don't care what people say, well, it's early in the table. But guess what? The last three matches at home, forget the away stuff, the home. Loss against Palace, draw against Sheffield, loss against Newcastle. We were all excited. We thought, man, do you see our list of fixtures coming up? We have a chance to go third, and we don't even play the quote-unquote big teams, blah, 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 blah. We can't even get a result against the shit teams.
And have you seen the fixtures coming up?
So I don't want to.
The next game that we have is coming up against Burnley away, which we never – well, actually, I shouldn't say never. We've won there a couple of times. But it's not going to be an easy place to go, especially after they just got shit-kicked by Sheffield United. They just got shit-kicked by Sheffield United. So you know they're going to be ready to come out and play. Oh, and then we got to go and play Spurs at home. Great. That's a toss-up. I mean, anything can happen in that game. That game honestly doesn't worry me all that much. Not that I think we're going to win, but – those derby games, anything can happen. Oh, great, now we got to go play Chelsea away. Oh, great, now we got to go play Wolves away. Oh, and then we got Arsenal at home. I mean, we had a chance at the beginning of the season to really put ourselves in a good spot. And we have, if we're not careful now, we could end up in a relegation scrap. And that's, again, that's why instant match reactions aren't a good idea, because now I'm thinking about relegation. I really don't think we're going to be in a relegation battle. But I
why
down
not,
to the
though?
Manager.
Why not? What have you seen different? I hate to be like that, but no, just to be honest with you. What have you seen different from this team that doesn't say, hey, relegation scrap? They're playing like they're in one. They're playing they're not even interested. And we said it last week, and these are professional guys, and they care, and you're not out there. You shouldn't question their. No, fuck that. They look like they are completely uninterested. There was no creativity. They couldn't connect a pass. It was lofted in the box. Shoot the fucking ball. Shoot the ball. I mean, put it on frame. Nobody wants to take anybody on. Nothing. There's nothing. Nothing going on.
All right, I'm just going to go on to the next the point on my list here. Where is Arthur Masuaku? Because we got the old Aaron Cresswell back. He's back. I knew he was coming back because I said it when he was in good form against Man United. I was like, well, this is great, but do you really think this Cresswell is sticking around? He's back. The old Cresswell is back. And Arthur Masuaku, not injured. Heard on other podcasts, he's not injured. So this is Pellegrini deciding that he shouldn't even be on the bench. Not even on the bench. Next point. Roberto, not a fucking Premier League goalkeeper. He's not. The first goal, nailed to the ground when all he had to do was at least put a dive in. I'm not saying he's going to get there, but at least dive at it. Second goal, out in no man's land. Rule number one as a goalkeeper, you either come or you stay. You don't come and then stop. You don't come and you stop. And that's on him. The simplest of headers, right back into the goal. 2-0, bam, thanks for coming. Game over. And then the third goal, the free kick, it went under his hands. It went underneath his hands from 30 yards
out. He said he couldn't see. Motherfucker, you set up the wall. What do you mean you couldn't see? That was your fault. And here's the thing about the side that winds me up more than anything. It's the same problem that Man United has. We invested a lot this summer. We put a lot of money into that team, right? In all the wrong areas. We thought that we were doing a great job. But look, we haven't addressed any of the outside back situation. I think Fredericks is good enough. I genuinely do. I like Ryan Fredericks. But for whatever reason, they don't want to play him. The left back situation's still a mess. You know, Cresswell's up and then he's down. Then you put Masuaku in. He has a good game. Then he's a mess. No consistency there. And the backup goalkeeper situation, the midfield's a problem. You know, I love Mark Noble. I really do. But I was like, what the fuck? Declan Rice even had a bad game. I'm not saying drop him. But they put no money in the midfield. Fornals can't see the field. Now, I think that was a long-term investment. But still, you know, $20 million, I'd like to see him. Allaire's by himself up there, $40 million just wasted. Not his fault he can't get any service. Anderson's not playing well. Antonio injured. Yarmolenko didn't do much today. So then you're relying on Robert Snodgrass. Again, love Snoddy. He's definitely like a fans player. Meets guys after the game. But, you know, even though he scored and had a nice rocket shot, you know, it was a little too late. Who cares? We didn't invest in the right spots, and here we are. Here we are, five games on the trot without a loss, and think about this. I mean, without a win. Think about this. This is just reverse of last season. We lost the first four games of last season. Everybody's freaking out. We get on a run, and we're feeling good. Well, now it's the opposite. We were starting off mile high.
Yeah, we're right. Yeah.
And then here we are. Now we're in a rut. Everybody's freaking out. But this team doesn't show me something that can get us out of a rut soon. We're going to be in some trouble.
And for the first goal, I would have liked to have seen, because the first goal, Almiron dived. It was a stonewall dive. It should have been a yellow card and should have been going the other way. I would have liked to have seen what happened in the game had that free kick not been given. Now, the free kick coming in, the header back across goal is a great one, but what the hell is Aaron Cresswell doing marking whoever put that ball in? I can't even think of who scored now, but I just shambolic defending. And at halftime, it should have been 5-0 Newcastle, at least. I mean, that's friendly. 5-0 would have flattered us, I think. It could have been 7. Saint-Maximin, hell of a player. I've loved Alan Saint-Maximin since he signed for Newcastle. Hell of a player. But we putting Zabaleta on the wing to match up with him was the dumbest decision I've ever said. Anyone with a footballing brain at all could have seen that that's a bad idea. And Danny Gabaldon said it from the right after I said it, he was the co-commentator in the game. Former West Ham player Danny Gabaldon said the exact same thing that I said. And I can't comprehend why he's even on the pitch. Zappa, I have nothing against him. I think he's an okay player right now. But matching him up against the pace of Newcastle had bad news written all over it. And Saint-Maximin should have scored twice because he was in on a breakaway twice. So I don't get it. And how about second half, substitution? Lanzini comes on. I'm done with Lanzini. I really am. He had an assist, and he made a couple of good touches. But Ayeti, did he touch the ball in the second half? Did he even touch it? I can't remember him touching the ball. And if he had touches, it was less than five.
Here's the problem with all that, though. Here's the problem with Lanzini and Ayeti. My issue with the people who come on at half is you're playing against tired guys who've been playing for 45 minutes already. And if you're not moving around, how many times, you know, Declan Rice's bad giveaway, right? That one. You know, he had no one to pass to. How many times did we see Anderson trying to cut back in and there's nobody in the middle? There was no movement from Ayeti, from even Allaire couldn't find space. Lanzini couldn't find space. Rice tried to come up. I mean, how many times to try even get on the ball did Allaire we see him at the center circle?
I texted you.
I said Anderson is playing center back because they couldn't get on the ball. There was no linkage at all from the midfield to the wingers to the strikers. It was just pump it in to the one guy. Yeah, he's tall. That's great. But there's just nothing. And I'm not sure if that's A, partially the players not playing well, and B, the manager setup. I think it's a combination of both.
I think it's the system.
It's a systemic problem.
The second Newcastle score the goal, even before the goal, they had 10 men behind the ball when we had it. We cannot break down teams like that. Sheffield United, Crystal Palace, Newcastle. They put 10 men behind the ball. The only team that didn't do that was Norwich, and we beat them because they kept coming at us. That Norwich kept pressing and pressing and pressing. That's why we played so good against them. But when teams park the bus in, 10 men behind the ball, 11 men behind the ball, we are incapable of breaking them down. And it's down to guys like Lanzini and Anderson to be able to produce a minute of magic, and they can't do it right now. I've defended Anderson for these last 3 or 4 weeks, and he did not have a good game today. He gave the ball away too many times. But no one else can create anything. Lanzini came on, and he had an assist on the goal. I'll give him credit for that.
All right, get a kick out of this. Hold on. Get a kick out of this. What was the possession last week? I know possession's a whole blah, 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 blah. But this just shows that we can't break down, and we have the ball, and we can't break it down. Sheffield had 39, West Ham had 61. This week, Newcastle had 39, West Ham had 61. We are dominating the teams with the ball, but we don't do anything with it at all. We have not done anything productive with it at all. And that's why you saw us 3-0 down. That's why you saw us Sheffield. I mean, we should have stepped on their throat, Sheffield. We should have been up 2-0, 3-0 if we would have made chances with all that possession. You know, but we didn't. Yeah. We let them hang in there.
Nothing
one
new.
Bang in, 1-1. Look at Newcastle. We had so many. We could have created chances with that much possession, and we did absolutely fucking nothing.
And here's a couple of stats for you. Newcastle hadn't scored an away goal in over 400 minutes of football. Enter West Ham United. Newcastle United have not scored 2 goals this season. Enter West Ham United. It's the West Ham way. I mean, you need a gimme. You need a pick me up. Come on down to East London. We're there for you. We'll hook you up. We'll help you out. And Newcastle, you're welcome. Thanks for coming.
I'm sick of this. It's the West Ham way bullshit.
Hope you enjoyed your stay.
It's the West Ham way. Sure, yeah. I mean, it is the West Ham way. But we're talking about becoming a bigger club. We're talking about rising in the table. I'm not even going to say that other phrase that I can't stand. But we're talking about, oh, we're this, we're that. Well, then you have to break out of the West Ham way. You have to get rid of that stereotype. You have to get rid of that mantra. You have to get rid of that mentality. If you want to stay the West Ham way, which again, I told you, I love West Ham whether we win or lose, and that's fine. But I just can't stand this whole it's the West Ham way. Well, you know, get out of that. You got to get away from that, or it's always going to be this, and we have to shelve the expectations. You got to shelve the expectations, and this is what we are, and be happy with that. Or you have to, oh God, I, you know what I was about to say. You got to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and fucking do something.
And the I'm going to say the last point on my sheet here. How much do we miss Chicharito? How much do we miss Andy Carroll? How much do we have miss guys being able to make a difference off the bench? Andy Carroll would have been the perfect guy to come on at halftime for that game. I don't care. I don't give a shit. Chicharito would have at least caused problems. Ayeti did nothing, offered nothing at all. And I know Hernandez did that from time to time, but at least he's a partner, a strike partner that you can put up there 4-4-2. We need a forward.
I disagree. I think we really missed. No, we really missed pace. We really had zero pace in that side to stretch them. Because if we had some pace to stretch them, they wouldn't have been making those same runs and cheating up the line with their extremely fast wingers and striker. If they had to track back and help their outside backs mark Antonio, if Anderson would actually use his pace for once, like he used to when he started. He started poor, balked up, used his pace and strength, and scored a whole bunch of goals. Now he looks like a pussy. I don't care. Antonio, we miss him. Wow. Didn't think I'd be saying that so much. But when you have Antonio stretching the defense and using his pace and strength running down the line, those wingers for Newcastle couldn't cheat as much. They said, oh, well, we can always get back real quick and get Snodgrass or Yarmolenko. I mean, those are easy guys to track back and get because they're slow. And then they didn't have to worry about moving forward because they could just blow right past Zabaleta and Cresswell, two slow outside backs. So we really lack pace, and I think that is our biggest problem. I think that's what we miss. I think we miss that more than Chicharito and more than Andy Carroll. Would they have been nice to come on shore, but they wouldn't have gotten any service because we couldn't get the ball up the field.
Yeah, anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back a little later.
Welcome back to part two of the West Ham Way USA podcast. Here we are about, 12, 24 hours later after we recorded that first episode, or a portion of the episode, I should say. I got to sleep on it, still lost, result doesn't change, but here we are. Brawley, do you feel any different? Are you still raging, just not yelling? What's the difference? Here we are 18 hours later.
Yeah, I'm feeling the exact same as I felt yesterday. Nothing's changed. I mean, I'm less vocal and, yes, less angry, vocally about it. I'm not as loud. But, yeah, it still doesn't change the fact that we play like dog shit against terrible opponents. I don't get it.
I think my mood has changed. I was more angry yesterday. I was fuming. I mean, I was almost yelling into the microphone here, just like you. I just think the difference now is confusion, because I don't see what the fix is. I'm not sure what the fix is going to be. I don't see Pellegrini making any changes. He didn't change his side against Sheffield. I don't see the board making any changes. They can't do anything to January if they were to buy somebody. They're not going to sack him. You know what I'm saying? That's 15 million. They're not going to sack him. I was talking with Liam, our friend of the podcast, folks, a bit before, and he was trying to. We had a discussion about if they sacked Pellegrini, if we got into a relegation battle, would someone be able to save us? Would they weigh that 15 million versus the cost of relegation? And I said, I think the board would feel confident enough that Pellegrini could get a 17th. And with the results that we've had the last five, I don't mean to freak out, but I don't see it. I don't think we get relegated, but I don't see what's going on here. I don't see any identity with this team. I don't see the players motivated. I hate to be negative. I don't know where we go from here.
It's not pretty. It's definitely not pretty. I definitely don't think we're going down. I definitely don't see us finishing below 12th, because I think even when we're terrible, there's still at least 6 to 8 teams that are worse than we are. And we shouldn't even think about that. I mean, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were still thinking about 6th and
third.
Trying to compete with Leicester. I mean, I wasn't thinking about finishing 3rd. I'm talking about at the end of the season.
Oh, okay.
I think we could possibly have finished 6th. maybe fifth, but sixth definitely. And now that's out of the question. Leicester have shown, as I predicted at the beginning of the season, that they are the best of the rest, and they are even better than Man United, and probably better than Arsenal and Chelsea as well.
All right, so let me pose a question to you. Okay, we are currently sitting 12th, even after the results. Okay, the way we've been playing the last few weeks. I'm going to read off the teams, and I want you to say if you think that we are better than them. Spurs.
Is this on paper? Like, can we finish above them? Like,
let's say overall on paper slash form slash your gut feeling. Go with your gut. Okay.
Okay.
Finishing better than. Okay. Spurs.
Worse. We are worse than they are.
Burnley.
Better. Should be better.
Newcastle.
Should be better.
Villa.
Should be better.
Everton.
Even.
Southampton.
Better.
Norwich.
Better.
Watford.
Better.
Those are all the teams that are below us right now. So I think you said better to maybe five or six of those.
Yeah.
And equal to Everton. So in theory, we should at least be finishing, it on your assumptions, at least 15th to 14th. Do you think that actually happens?
No, I think we'll finish above that. I do think we'll find a way to turn this thing around. It's not going to happen overnight. I just think the false sense of hope that the beginning of the season gave us, and looking back at it, like if I'm standing back and looking at it, it makes total sense now, because the three teams that we've beaten have been Watford, Norwich, and Man United,
who are all below 10th.
All three teams who like to get up the field, and all three teams who don't like to defend. And that makes total sense. Now, the teams that have put 10 men behind the ball, your Villas, your Brightons, your Palaces, your Sheffield. Newcastles, your Sheffields, we cannot beat them. If you make your team hard to break down, we cannot break down them, and therefore we are not winning those games. And it makes total sense. Pellegrini has not figured out how to unlock these defenses. He just hasn't. And the team hasn't figured out. I don't know if it's the formation, but I do think his tactics are incredibly wrong. And I do think he's leaving Allaire way too isolated up front on his own. And the midfield's not linking up with him, and the D in the midfield aren't linking up. I mean, everything is just shambolic at the moment, and it does make sense why we can't break these teams down, because Pellegrini's tactics aren't suited for it. He just can't do it.
We need to figure it the fuck out. I don't have a proper analysis other than he needs to figure it out, because sooner or later we need to stop wasting time, because you're going to get creeping closer and closer to that line. And I'm not sure that these players really know how to handle struggling. I think that's part of the problem as well. I'm not sure that these players are prepared for a fight. I don't think we were going to go down, but I think that
I don't think we're going to go down in that area of the table. Mm. I think 12th is where we're going to hover around. 12th to 14th where we're going to hover around until we figure this out.
But where are we going to pick up points? I mean, if I tell you our next fixtures, I think we went through this earlier in the pod, but we're going to do it again. I mean, we're at Burnley, home to Spurs, at Chelsea, at Wolves, home to Arsenal, Southampton away, and then I guess the Liverpool game was canceled. But like I said, Burnley, Spurs, Chelsea, Wolves, Arsenal. Where are we picking up points there?
Well, these are all teams besides Burnley that like to get up the field, and those are the teams we do fare better against. So I would argue that we might have a better shot at nicking a result against one of those teams rather than these bottom of the barrel teams that we can't beat. Burnley, I don't. That's another team that puts 11 men behind the ball and they hit you on the break and they hit you with long balls, which we are not being able to cope with. But Tottenham, that's a toss up. It doesn't matter the form, doesn't matter where you're at in the table. The Spurs game, anything can happen. So I think we could easily win that game. We could easily lose that game, but I'm just saying that's a toss-off. It's a toss-up. It's a one-off. We could beat them. Now, Arsenal, terrible, terrible defending team, and they like to attack. That's good for us. I mean, we can get after them, because they're not their front three is really good, but we can get after them. Arsenal and Wolves, same thing. Or not Arsenal and Wolves. excuse me, whoever, Wolves coming up. Wolves like to get up the field and like to get after it. We can hit them on the break. Another team that we are capable of beating. And I'm not saying we're going to. I'm just saying if my logic and my thinking is correct, we might have a chance to pick up a couple of results in this group of games.
I just get very concerned with this idea of hitting teams on the break, because I agree with you. That's how we play. That's how we've gotten a lot of good results. You're completely right. But part of the issue I have is we lost that pace. That was why we needed Antonio. That's why Fredericks does
so
well.
He's supposed to be coming back. Antonio's supposed to be coming back next week.
Well, Lord help me, Jesus. I hope so. Because that's why Masuaku was very successful as well. When you're hitting teams on the break. Now, Cresswell did have a good game, but I'm saying more so when you need that pace if you're going to hit people on the break, if you're going to defend and catch them off guard. Yarmolenko's not that.
I didn't think Cresswell had a good game. I'm not sure if that's what you were saying there. I thought Cresswell was dog
no,
shit.
No, I'm talking about, excuse me, I was referring back to Man United, that last win, when Cresswell did have a good game. But when we hit people on the break, we had all that pace. You know, I think Yarmolenko has slowed down. Snodgrass was never fast. Anderson's our only pacey winger. And he doesn't even seem to want to use it. He's just like, seems like he's phoning it in, if I'm being honest with you.
Well,
so,
is it time to, I don't know what's happened between Masuaku and Pellegrini. I don't know why he hasn't been even in the squad, but is it time to move Masuaku up to a winger's position and let Anderson go out on the right and bring Masuaku up to left wing? I mean, would that be something you would want to do?
I think that's a great idea. I'm not sure if Anderson, I don't see why he couldn't do it. I'm not sure if he would want to do it.
Or give him more of a free role.
Yeah, I mean, I like that idea. I'm just all about being pace. I mean, look at who's the dude that was really good from Sunderland that went to, I believe, Wolves or Bournemouth.
Oh, Adama Traore, is that who you're talking about?
The guy who's long story short, I think there's players like Traore, there's a lot of Zaha, you know, those are great players. I'm very big on pace. That's what I'm trying to get at, rather than going in circles there.
Well, I just hope Pellegrini is seeing the same things we are, because it doesn't seem like he is. I mean, I said it earlier in the podcast, but how on earth you think it's a good idea to put Zabaleta up against Saint-Maximin? I will never, ever, 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 ever understand. I mean, you don't have to have a footballing brain to look at that on paper and say, that is a bad matchup. What can we do to correct that? And instead, he just puts out the same lineup. Same thing. I don't care. Same thing. We'll try it again. Let's
That'd
see
be
if
like
it works.
Me racing Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, it's just never going to happen. It's a terrible idea. Saint-Maximin is a good player, a really good player. I will be shocked if Saint-Maximin lasts longer than this season at Newcastle. I think he is a great player. And I can't even find words to process why that would be a good idea. I just don't understand it. And then it starts with Masuaku not playing over Cresswell. Again, I don't know if there's been a bust up or if they've gotten into it, but that doesn't make any sense. And then Noble hasn't been good lately. I know I am one to never criticize Noble, but he hasn't been good lately. So you got to look at what's going on with him and why this is, because whenever Noble's not playing well, typically the team doesn't play well. And that's been the case over the last 4 weeks. So, I mean, we got to start finding solutions to these problems instead of just putting out the same thing and hoping it works, because it's not working.
They need to find the problems. You and I aren't paid to find the problems. I know just for conversation purposes you said we, but they need to find the damn problems. We can sit here and talk on a podcast for an hour each week or whenever we feel like it, and some people listen and it's a good time and all the fans feel our rage and we're like, yeah, we all stick together. But the reality of the situation is we can figure it out, but it doesn't matter. They got to figure it out.
It's just mind-boggling, man. I just can't believe this is where the season has gone. And, you know, I mean, looking back, like I said earlier, if you take a step back and look at it as a whole, it makes total sense now because those teams are crap. and then they don't like to defend, whereas the teams that are defending, we're not breaking down. So, I mean, it's just a struggle right now, and is it time? Well, let's just have the conversation right now. Is it time to sack Pellegrini? I know you said they're not going to, but if you were the manager or if you were the board, would you sack Manuel Pellegrini?
No, I would not. Okay, so I'm 50-50, and here's why. I think that he's a good manager. I don't think we invested in the right areas, which is partially his fault, because I'm sure that he has some say in the team selection, the player selection, uh-huh, when it comes to transfers. I'm not sure. I like a young manager. I don't care if it's for show. I don't care if it actually works. But something about just me personally makes me feel better when you have a manager up on the sideline just yelling and energetic and enthusiastic. I think that what's hard for me is to watch Pellegrini just sit there. And there's a video of him at the half when we were coming cut to him when we come into the second half, and he just looks exhausted, like confused, came out of the dressing room just with that like feeling. And I was just like, you know what, if he's feeling that way, the players probably think the same damn thing. So back to your question of, do I think he should be sacked? No, I think he's a good manager. I think he just got to figure it out, and he hasn't. So no, I don't think we sack him. I think he just needs to get it done. The other thing is, if you were to sack him, I would do it soon so that we can hopefully, in theory, have that new manager bump, in theory, going into the big games against Spurs, Chelsea, Wolves, Arsenal. But I think that realistically he can get us out of it. I just don't see anything other than 10th this season, which is not bad. 10th for West Ham is great. I mean, when I started watching West Ham, I started watching the year that they got relegated, the second time, the one where the playoff was the next year in the against Blackpool, excuse me. So I've seen some bad seasons, and I'm sure there's plenty of West Ham fans who've been fans much longer than me have seen some plenty bad seasons, and 10th is fairly successful. You can't do this preaching about how you want to be a big club and do big things and finish 10th.
Well, I just want to say, firstly, a couple of things. One, I would not sack Pellegrini just yet. I think he should be given some time to turn it around, because overall, it has been fairly good under him. I mean, we had the one terrible spell last season at the beginning of the season. He got us out of it, but the rest of that season was pretty good. I think this season, it's only fair that he gets some time to turn it around. But my patience is running thin, and I don't know whether he is a good manager or not, because he just puts out the same thing every time. He throws it in the wall and sees if it sticks, and usually it's not sticking right now. So I'm wondering if the Premier League's passed him up, if he's tactically inept now. I've heard people calling him a dinosaur now. He's only here to get a paycheck. He fucked off to China, and now he's back for more money. So I don't know what to think. I don't know if he's a good manager anymore. I really don't.
You said it perfectly, though. I want to jump in and interrupt your rant real quick, even though you let me go. Well, you said it perfectly, though, when you were going on about the you said that he needs a chance to turn it around, and I said the same thing in my rant, and I agree with you. But it doesn't even seem like he's trying to turn it around. If you went 1-1 against Sheffield, played okay in the first half, poor in the second half, with that setup, would you put out the same lineup? Like, that's not turning it around.
I'm not there for training, so, I mean, I can't say what the players are doing in training or what's going on behind the scenes, but based off of that alone, I would switch it up and try something a little differently, which he's not doing. So,
right, so the question is, can he turn it around? Well, Or where's our problem? Or we're not playing well. Or the players aren't doing this, and they're not getting in the right positions, and this matchup was not good, and blah, blah, blah. Well, he trotted out the same lineup. That's not turning it around. That's not trying to turn it around. Yeah. Unless he, I don't know, something in his old ass head genuinely thought that we did something right against Sheffield, and it was like, oh, well, this might work again next week. But it didn't.
The next thing I wanted to say is I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, you all must be new fans because this is West Ham. This is what West Ham have always been and what they always will be. You guys should just get used to it. And it's like, let's hang on a second here. Why on earth did you take us from the London Stadium to Upton Park then if this was all you wanted again? I mean, that's what I meant. Yeah, from Upton Park to London Stadium. Why should we be okay with mediocrity now that we're supposed to be competing at the next level, competing with for that top six, especially this season, especially when a season yep. where the top six is so wide open? I know it's ambitious, but that's what we've been told to be expecting. I mean, that's what a manager that we brought in, we should be expecting. The players that we brought in, we should be expecting. It's all well and good to be okay with finishing 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th every year. I mean, that's fine. If you're happy with mediocrity every season, and if we were at Upton Park, I would have kept that mediocrity. I've been totally fine with that. But we're not there anymore, and we're supposed to be at the going into the next level. So why can't we have expectations that are slightly higher than what we were used to be seeing? And I know all of your old school fans is like, well, it's just West Ham. This is West Ham. This is the West Ham way to lose to Newcastle, lose to all these shit teams. Like, I understand that used to be the normal thing, but the idea was that it wasn't going to be the normal thing anymore. So why can't we have expectations of let's go Render on and let's things. Do it? So why can't we think like that?
Well, it kind of goes off of what I said in part one of the instant after pod, part of the pod, where it was well, it's the West Ham way. Well, you know, fuck that. That's just incredible that we just use that as an excuse. I'm gonna get this on my grave. I have the same phrase. Oh, I'm okay with like a West Ham that just being average, but I just want more. But I'm okay with mediocrity, and it's true. It's true. You didn't have a choice. I had a choice, and I picked mediocrity, and I love West Ham. But the point of the story is, I want more. I do. And I don't think there's a problem with wanting more, especially when you spent that much money and you switch stadiums, you spend all this money. Well, you might as well just not done any of it if you're going to be in the same spot. They got a business to run, sure, and I guess, and we know that's the real reason why they didn't give a fuck about competing. Absolutely not. But my point is, you know, I'm okay with the mediocrity, but I want more. If we went through all this hassle, people running on the field and switching stadiums, and you can't stand and you can stand, and people Ribman moved all around, and all this headache for the last 4 years. Well, damn right, I want more.
And I think should be the same old West Ham anymore. I think we should be aiming better than that. And if you gave me a crystal ball and I could go back to Upton Park and I looked 4 years into the future, I saw that Manuel Pellegrini was our manager. Okay, that's exciting. Players like Allaire and Anderson and Fabianski playing pretty well for West Ham. Like, okay. I mean, that looks good, but then you show me the table at the end of the season, and it's 10th, 11th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 9th. I would say I'd rather stay. If we can get 10th and 11th at Upton Park without the so-called, like, extra spending, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I would have chosen to stay had I known that. And that's what I think a lot of people are realizing, because the stadium – I would have rather. I don't know. I'm talking in circles here, but I'm just saying that it's time to, like, if we moved for higher, to aim higher, then we should be doing it by now, and it's time to shit or get off the pot, as far as I'm concerned. So,
I do. Funny enough, Nigel from More Than Just a Pod was actually on the positive side here, and he was saying what can the fans do, you know? And all we do is consistently look for someone to blame, but football is a business and blah 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 blah, and he's right, it is a business, and it was a business move. It was never about grander things. It was never about getting results. It was never, because it's the Premier League. There's so much money in it anyway. And that's the sad bit about it. I think that's the most frustrating thing about it, is it was never about finishing higher up in the table and having all that. So, again, it's going back to being happy and accepting 11th, 12th, 10th, 9th, and maybe not worrying about a relegation battle, and that's the next level quote that we keep hearing, is not top 6, not top 7, not Champions League or any of that. It's just frustrating to we bamboozled ourselves. And nobody wants to say that. Everybody wants to say, well, the board tricked us. The board bamboozled us, right? They promised all this stuff. But in reality, I mean, if someone could find it for me, that would be great. I don't think that they ever actually said Champions League, did they? Maybe they did.
Yeah, but I think they did.
I think that they were just saying next level and compete, and we'll have the big stadiums competing with the Man United, the Arsenal, the Tottenham, in that range. But I don't think they genuinely ever meant, and I'm not backing them. I still think they're a bunch of dickheads, but I don't think that, I think we set the bar so high ourselves, and I, myself included, and that's why I want more. But the reality is the next level was not top 6, top 7. The next level was finishing mid-table and never worrying about relegation.
Yeah, and that's probably right. So,
okay, let's move on. We did not put out a Q&A tweet this week. We thought the questions were going to be too negative. Same old questions. Same. You get the 50 of the same questions. They're probably going to be stuff that we've already talked about. So we decided just to skip that for this week. It'll be back next week. Let's move straight into Burnley. So, Tony, you have Burnley stats pulled up in front of you. What have they been up to recently?
Yeah, so I have two sets of stats here. The first one is our head-to-head against them, the last three. So we lost to them 2-0 the last time that we were at Burnley. And then, let's see, also here we beat them 4-2 at home, but then we also the famous 3-0 loss at home to Burnley were our last three games. So we've split with them back and forth. Their last games in general have not been favorable for them. They lost 3-0 to Sheffield, 4-2 to Chelsea, and 2-1 to Leicester. So, of course, they're struggling, and here we come, have to play another struggling side, and that obviously means that they are going to get a result on Saturday.
Thank God West Ham are coming to town. That's the West Ham way. If you need a result, if you need something, if you need a pick-me-up, you've been struggling lately, hey, we're here to help you out. I think I put out a tweet just yesterday. It's the oh, what's that guy's name? The out of context
Hearn
thing,
or something like that.
You know? Yeah, Barry or whatever his name is.
I just
think those are hilarious. Yeah, those crack me up. I think they're hilarious. So I'll probably put out a tweet saying, "Oh, Burnley have lost the last three. West Ham, oh, go on then." It's typical West Ham.
I like the Eubanks ones too, the boxer guy. I think those are funny. But I think one of the main things is I will lose my fucking mind if we put out that same lineup again come Saturday. I genuinely will throw this microphone through my computer and waste all that money. I will just destroy something. I will be so angry if we go 3 weeks with that same lineup that did not get a result.
Yep, I know. And I don't have faith for him to change it right now. So until Pellegrini gives me a reason to have faith in him again, I think he's going to keep doing the same crap, the same formations, the same lineup, and not change a whole lot. And I don't think we're going to get a result out of this game. I think we're going to lose probably 2-0, 2-1, somewhere around there. And I hate being that negative, pessimistic dude, but it's not good right now, and he hasn't given me anything to be excited about. So Burnley away, another team that we can't break down, teams that put 10 men behind the ball, we're going to struggle to cope with, and I can't see us picking up a result. And call me negative, call me a pessimist, but I just can't see it.
And Chris Wood is day-to-day with an injury for Burnley, which means, of course, he's going to be back and banging goals against us.
Yeah, incoming an Ashley Barnes and a Chris Wood. Two goals, and we're going to lose.
Absolutely. Okay, so just for the record, what's your official score? Did you say it?
I'll go 2-0.
Damn. Yeah. I'm gonna go 2-1. I don't for Burnley. I hate to be negative and end this on a sour note. I don't feel good about it. I don't feel good about the direction that we're heading in. I hope to God next Sunday that we record this podcast that we are singing praises and that we're feeling good, that we maybe saw something in the team that we can take into the that set of scary fixtures. I really hope that we could turn this around because I am not prepared to podcast the next 5 weeks with a miserable tone. It's not fun. It's not fun. And I think people can hear it in our voices. I don't think it's an audio medium is not like Arsenal Fan TV. This is what I was saying to someone the other day. And our listeners, we have less listeners when we're losing. Arsenal Fan TV does better when they lose. Because it's a video medium. People love watching freakouts and all that. People from other teams love watching Arsenal Fan TV. But for our podcast, when we lose, we have less listeners. People don't want to listen. You know, I listen to less West Ham podcasts. I really don't even listen to any of them when we lose. Sometimes I do, but I just don't want to. I don't want to wallow in it. I want to just forget about it. So that's the difference between the audio.
Exactly. I'm the same way. Like, I don't watch Match of the Day. I don't watch the highlights. I don't watch anything at all if we lose because I don't want to just sit in it. I don't want to relive it because I was livid at the time and I don't want to get livid again. So I'm the exact same way. That's just funny. But I just don't want to
finish out that way. I don't want to sit here for the next 4 weeks complaining and crying and moaning and angry because that's just not fun. Absolutely. All right, hit us with that good
stuff.
So
on Twitter, you can find us at. Ooh, I keep wanting to say the old pod name. It's at West Ham Way US Pod. If you want to shoot us an email, we do have a new email address. So you can send our emails to the West Ham Way USA podcast at gmail.com. We had the old email, but now we got the new one. So, and if you could go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and rating, and please subscribe to the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. We do have a Facebook if you want to find us on Facebook. We haven't used it much yet, but the Facebook is the West Ham Way USA podcast. So signing off from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, he's been Tony Clark. I have been Brawley Darbin in St. Louis.